Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Real Geeks Presents The B-Roll, The Apocalypse. I am Crash and Bird, and with me as always is Mike Montgomery.
Oh, howdy everybody, and contrary to the popular belief of most of the internet and apparently Crash, if you really think about it, things aren't that bad.
I saw them take the Warner kids out behind the studio and shoot them. It's a full purge. Full purge.
I was just saying, short term, things are not good. But...
Where will they stop? I was watching Sandman on Netflix last night, and the only thing that came to mind, aside from, well, this is quite nice, this is very, it's lovely to see this, you know, after decades and decades of reading and adoring Neil Gaiman's work, but who will get to the finish line first and cancel it, Netflix or Warner Brothers? This show is fantastic. You can't have any more. Fuck you.
Well, I think right now, if you want to know whether or not Warner Brothers Discovery will be the one to cancel it, you just need to find out one thing. What was the budget for Sandman?
That's fair. Well, at least it should be relatively safe. I mean, after all, it does star and focus on a white guy.
I mean, there is that, and that is pretty much the security blanket of Hollywood. So, and I'm going to say the three words that I normally never use in relation to anything on this show. I have notes.
Oh boy. Here we go. All right, go ahead. Hit me.
Before we get to that though, couple of things that very quickly, because they are a little bit time sensitive. First and foremost being the new trailer for Andor that just recently dropped, which if you liked Rogue One, you're going to be very happy.
Yes, it's nice that Disney Lucasfilm or whatever Lucasfilm is within Disney subdepartment. It's nice that they finally figured out what they want to do with these series and are now essentially like going back and slotting in the stuff that they needed to do previously instead of just rushing things out and being like, look, it's Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Wars, with no clear plan or idea. And now that like they have those markers out there and it's like, well, you have to adhere to it. Okay. So we have to come up with backstory, do we? And this is where they shine. Backstory. Honestly, if you could easily make an entire series, and it would be incredibly popular, of Star Wars that would be based just on like someone reading different files and archive notes in the Jedi archive. And it's like, this episode is 10,000 years ago. It's about a civil war on this other planet. It has nothing to do with any characters you've heard of. It doesn't matter. It's just fucking like Star Wars vomit. And it would be incredibly popular. And I think that they've finally understood that now. It's not about the fucking Skywalkers. People are tired of the goddamn Skywalker saga. Ugh. People want the rest of the world fleshed out. They want all of those wonderful details. And, like, Rogue One was good, but not great. And I feel that if this show is accomplished correctly, it will make Rogue One great. You'll just have to watch Andor and then Rogue One, not the other way around.
Oh, no, I completely agree. Like, Rogue One, I think more than anything, was just such a breath of fresh air just because it was so different. Mm-hmm. And Andor, from the looks of this trailer anyway, seems to be really both building on that and doing one hell of a lot of patchwork with the Empire itself.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of connective tissue. And I suspect that a lot of people will find it ultimately a little boring for that, because it's a workhorse. It's got shit to do. This is not like ambling along on the Mandalorian where, like, you know, you could enjoy all of Star Wars without ever seeing this, or seeing the Mandalorian, that is. But if yeah. you end up watching Rogue One, you're gonna need to see this to be like, okay, but wait a minute. That doesn't work. You know, like, it's necessary for the jumps through the movies, whereas, like, Mandalorian, while gorgeous and wonderful, is not necessary, quote-unquote. You could have all of Star Wars, and not once will you ever be like, hey, what happened to, like, the Mandalorians and, like, the Yoda people? What if two of them got together and, like, traveled? It's like, these aren't questions and concepts that are raised inherently by the Star Wars films. Whereas, so, what was it like raising the Rebellion is?
Yeah.
And they already got tons of content, which is still canon, out of it in Rebels. This is just, like, that was one... Rebel cell and interacting with a higher Rebel cell. This is another Rebel cell interacting with a higher and also in some points the same Rebel cell. It's gonna be hopefully. I mean, they haven't really fucked up yet. Solo was Solo is mid.
As a wrestling fan, I was tired of the term before it became popular. Mm. You're not wrong.
Yeah, no. I look forward to it. This trailer has definitely hyped me more than I was expecting to go into Andor. I do not give a fuck about Cassian Andor myself. The character, him, he's just... Okay, so he's kind of a douchebag. I mean, like, his politics are good, but he's a douchebag. Okay.
Yeah. I think that might be another reason we're actually getting this series. Because coming out of Rogue One, one of the criticisms, if I remember right, was people were looking at Cassian and going, meh.
Eh. Eh. I mean, he's...
So, like...
He's not Han Solo, and he's not Han Solo.
No. No, but I think this is going to build Cassian up a bit more. This is going to make the Empire more terrifying, more arrogant. So basically a mix of the Republican Party and Nazis.
Yeah.
So the Republican Party.
Pretty much. Like seeing that side, that aspect of it is very important. We've gotten, like, hints and, asides of it, but we need to see what it really, like, is like on a more day-to-day basis, instead of, like, always around spectacular action and blah, blah, blah.
Now, also of note is the premiere date for Andor has changed. It was initially, I believe, going to be later this month, but now it's going to be late September.
Mm-hmm.
And this leads to the other thing that I wanted to bring up before we deep dive, which is the premiere for She-Hulk has also changed in that it's moved from Wednesday, August 17th to Thursday, the 18th. Basically, somebody at Disney looked at Obi-Wan and Ms. Marvel and went, yeah, we probably shouldn't have done that.
Yeah, and it was odd at the time. It was delightful. Tons of content. Yay.
Yeah.
But deep down, you just know it's like, oh, this isn't going to last because you really should be spacing these out. I bet there was a not substantial but noticeable drop between the end of Ms. Marvel Kenobi and, I guess, currently into the lead up to the release of She-Hulk. Which is probably why they were like, hey, Multiverse of Madness, here, take it, and Prey, of course. I haven't watched Prey yet, but from what I understand, it's essentially just like the greatest thing since coming on sliced bread.
Yeah, no, I haven't had a chance to sit down and watch it either. We are going to cover it this month.
Oh, yes! Yeah,
no, August is basically our catch-up, and Prey is absolutely a part of that. But I am hearing nothing but good things. And it is just, basically, it's just nice to see Disney is going, maybe we should use more than 1 or 2 days for our premieres.
Yeah. Yeah, just like a little bit of expansion, you know, across, maybe, you know, like a variety. Something to keep it nice and jaunty. Yeah, no, that's smart business. That's far smarter for them. I understand the allure of giving their audience a double hit, but when you're giving it out for money, space that shit out and get the most bang for your buck.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think it was about halfway through Kenobi when Ms. Marvel premiered and people were kind of going, y'all sure about this?
Yeah, it's just staggering is good. Staggering is the best way to maintain. I say as we have 3 episodes in a row and this would be a 4th. I love being able to essentially put out 4 to 5 podcast episodes a week of stuff. That's a terrific achievement, and fuck them.
Well, I mean, most of the podcasts that do that also have the money to hire editors.
I mean, yeah, and I edit it like, as a way, in a form. I mean, you'd be surprised how much I actually cut out.
Wait, you cut stuff?
I do. That's the funny thing, is what gets left in is kind of like, it works for comedic purposes, it is naturalistic, but actual issues that, like, any technical problems, any talking over that just doesn't work or something like that, any discussion about editorial things, yeah, actually I cut them out to the ability that I can, mic hits and chair wobbles notwithstanding.
Yeah, basically if you want us to be able to do more, she does have Patreon, I'm just saying,
give me some money.
Give me money. Now, and with the simple fact that I figured since I was on vacation this week, we should take advantage of that and do some extra content. Thank God this happened this week.
My God, like, what good timing.
Yeah, time to get into the Batgirl conversation, and now, couple things that I want to be very clear about right off the bat here is I don't want to speak for Crash directly, but at the end of the day, I very much wish this could have been released.
Yeah, I figure that if they can release and I understand that technically this is a different company that we're about to discuss, technically this is basic Ship of Theseus nonsense, but if they can spend, I don't even remember how many dozens of millions of dollars on scraping together and releasing the Snyder cut, and yet they won't push out this film, which is more or less done, or Scoob something something holiday whatever, which I hear is done.
Haunt.
Yeah, it, like that's vindictive. I understand the tax approach, but at some point, like, you're generating heat for it. People want these more than ever. They'll now pay out the ass. And if they don't release them or announce a release within a month, that's just fucking leaving money on the table, tax benefit or not, because the hype will have finally overtaken the tax benefit. Like,
well,
it just doesn't, like, it, that they're already done. There's no more shit really to have to do. You don't need a marketing strategy now. You had a press release that was free. It's fantastic.
True, but and I'm gonna we'll get into this in more detail. But the main thing right off the bat is pretty much everything you just talked about was not this administration.
No, that's what I'm saying is like
DC's
nonsense.
That.
Yeah, where it's like it can be done, and that's where a lot of the viewers will be coming from, because they don't necessarily truly understand that is a completely different company now, effectively.
Yeah.
And this is kind of the cutting of the last vestiges of that old company away, as much as is feasibly possible. I'm purely just looking at it and being like, are you fucking kidding? You just managed to pull an entire marketing strategy for free by threatening it with a gun. They pulled the old Mad Magazine trick of, if you don't buy this issue, we'll shoot this dog. Release it after that. You know, like, give people what they want. Because you don't have to put any extra effort into it. If this demanded a lot of extra effort with it beyond its already projected budgets, beyond their already projected budgets.
And again, folks, keep everything she just said in mind, because a lot of that I think we're about to get into.
Ooh.
Everything that I'm going to be discussing, if you want to go and verify this yourself, I've pulled from three places. Articles from The Hollywood Reporter, Deadline, and Rolling Stone.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only thing I'm discussing. I'm not interested in any other speculation, theory, conspiracy theories, none of that. Because a lot of the stuff that I've seen is just so much, oh, come on now.
Oh yeah, no, there's a lot flying fast and furious with this one.
Yeah. Very quickly, Batgirl was initially made for a total of $90 million. Initially, its budget was closer to $75-80 million, and then COVID happened.
Yeah.
So it was given an extra $10 million for that. And it was meant to go straight to HBO Max. This was part of the previous administration's strategy of creating big budget films that would go straight to streaming, that pretty much everybody else was looking at and going, what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, that's really not bright. Really not bright. And like, they could have just asked the old executives at HBO how to do it. You don't spend a fuck ton of money on one movie. You spend a fuck ton of money on a season of movies.
Precisely. And the official reason, quote, the decision to not release Batgirl reflects our leadership's strategic shift as it relates to the DC Universe and HBO Max. Leslie Grace is an incredibly talented actor, and this decision is not a reflection of her performance. We are incredibly grateful to the filmmakers of Batgirl and Scoob, Holiday Haunt, and their respective casts, and we hope to collaborate with everyone again in the near future. It's pretty much standard boilerplate, but it doesn't seem to be saying anything that I haven't seen elsewhere. And it should probably also be noted that this actually isn't the only DC movie to have already been canceled so far, in that there was the Wonder Twins movie, which was supposed to star KJ Apa.
I mean, everyone on Earth knew that was not going to actually get.
Yeah.
No.
That got canned, I think, like a week after the casting announcement.
Yeah. Yeah. So we did get a hangover finally passed. Wait, what the fuck did I mean?
We did get a cancellation with a white male lead.
Yeah, but like, I'm pretty sure that character's gay.
Oh, probably. However, with Warner Brothers Discovery, they now have a mandate of, quote, DC films should be released theatrically or not at all. According to David Zaslav himself, and this is coming from Deadline, there's no comparison when you launch a film in motion picture theaters. Expensive films going to streaming can't find an economic value for it.
And that's fine. There seems to be an Alexandrian answer to this Gordian knot. And it's release Batgirl in theaters.
I know.
I'm just like, yeah, it's like, oh, okay. Well, in that case, now please continue to explain why they will not do that obvious thing that people both want and will make them money. Which, for those who are not familiar with it, is a economic system of representative trade where one typically wants to accumulate as much as possible because it gives you what is called buying power. And typically, corporations, which are groupings of people to create more buying power, want to release products that people called consumers will then purchase with monies. What Discovery seems to have determined is best is to throw all of that into a fire.
Well, here's the thing. Now, quick side note, in that the film actually may have messed with the studio's long-term plans for DC, and we're going to get into that a little more later. And the big thing right now...
You certainly won't want to release something with a DC character in, like, some sort of else world. No, it's not like there's an imprint for that that could easily wave it away. Continue.
The big thing right now is, of course, the studio decided to take the tax write-off on the $90 million budget for the film.
Hey.
Now, this is what's called purchase accounting, and needless to say, I am not an expert on the American tax system, but what this basically does is they can take the tax write-off, and it allows the studio to take that loss and just kind of push it off to the side, like away from their books, and it never has to be financially seen.
I'm just so happy Mel Brooks lived long enough to see the producers become reality. And he was only off by the end, in which they get arrested and charged for fraud. Turns out, you can just write that shit off.
Yep.
That was Bialystok's real problem. He just didn't have a good accountant. Wait a second. That would be Bloom. Bloom, you fuck!
Now, the big thing, and I didn't see this on Deadline, Rolling Stone, or The Hollywood Reporter, but I have seen this point brought up enough that I'm still going to mention it, which is the tax write-off means Warner Brothers Discovery is not legally allowed to profit from the movie.
Yeah, so they can't release it, and that's the thing. Technically, yeah, it's going to be locked away in a vault until someone either surreptitiously releases it or they get purchased and the archive then gets shifted to another company who technically can then release it for money, money, money. Who knows how far down the road that is, though, considering the plummet of the stock price the other day, at least 17%. Who knows? It might be sooner than you think. But technically, they can't release it and make any money. There are plenty of ways that this can be walked around. I mean, this is the American tax code. You're a company.
True.
It was written for you. And if it doesn't work out, do it anyway.
The main thing right now is your release, the Batgirl film hashtags, your calls to mobilize the Snyder Bros to get this film released mean nothing.
Yeah. Also, I'm pretty sure those accounts were deactivated. That contract ran out and Zach don't give to fuck no more.
And also, even if Snyder did, like, the simple fact is, if you're advocating the use of bullying, harassment, death threats, and so forth to get a movie made, personally, I cannot support you.
Yeah. And I get the feeling that Discovery, a company who intentionally purchased a company that had to be faced with all of that and, like, you know, the executive and all that, and therefore the presumption that it will occur to them as well, probably has an idea of how to deal with it. Maybe like scenario training, or they've gamed it out. That will never work again. They're not going to let it work again. That was fucking madness that ended up collapsing a studio and destroying HBO Max. And that's really all you've achieved, Snyder Bros. You destroyed HBO Max, a thing that was pretty much built for you. Congratulations.
One thing that I did come across just to add to that is what a lot of people, I think, don't realize with HBO Max is that you remember when Warner Brothers decided that they were going to release their entire 2021 film slate to HBO Max same day as theaters?
Yep.
That needless to say, pissed off a lot of people in the business and damaged a lot of relationships for the studios.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by that. Like, they didn't seem to have asked anyone about it.
But the thing is, and I think this is a large part of why you're seeing everything that's currently happening with HBO Max, is Warner Brothers had to make a lot of large payouts to fix those relationships. So HBO Max, frankly, may have already been a lot more damaged than people realize.
And that would not surprise me. Numerous mistakes were made with that service. And it's kind of entertaining to watch it all happen from up here in Canada, where we don't get HBO Max, we get Crave. So, like, all of this madness and nonsense is filtered out, and what we end up getting is just, like, the end product instead of having to watch the carnage of the making of the sausage. It's just, yeah, no, HBO's doing fine for me. I don't know. It seems all right. I can still watch all this content. And it's just, yep. Thank fuck for Crave. Sorry, America. It's just another tiny symptom of your societal collapse. Now HBO, it doesn't even work right.
And also, for a lot of you HBO fans, don't worry. A lot of their most popular shows were HBO, not specifically HBO Max.
Yeah. I mean, so ultimately, that's the great thing is like Westworld's still on. So I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, odds are those shows are still safe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, also a quote from the Hollywood Reporter here. At a certain point, a source notes, it doesn't make financial sense to spend $80 or $90 million on a streaming movie, as it won't necessarily attract more subscribers than, say, a $40 million movie.
That's true.
Now, and I know somebody is going to say, but the Snyder Cut was super successful for HBO Max. Was it?
Yeah, I mean, I would say it was quote-unquote super successful in the sense that it was like the first major thing they released, and therefore any number higher than zero is over 100% increase.
True, and what the thing that I was going to bring up was that I've seen reports where either the Snyder Cut was a success for HBO Max or it was a total failure and did nothing for the streaming service.
Yeah, and considering that they haven't moved forward with any other plans that allegedly were going around at the time, they have not moved forward with the David Ayer cut, the company soon collapsed and was purchased. I want to assume that the data that says that it was actually their worst performing streaming spectacular is the more accurate, because otherwise this shit wouldn't have failed, would it?
Well, I mean, one more thing, like I was going to say that there's always the proverbial, you know, the truth is somewhere in the middle. But keep the Snyder Cut in mind, because that's going to come up a little later.
Yeah. And considering, revelations about, the Snyder Bros and that hashtag and everything, no, the truth is not in the middle. The truth is so fucking ridiculous. Fair. People did not believe it for years.
That's entirely fair. And, to carry forward with Batgirl and speaking of things that people believe but aren't actually true, the movie was not finished.
I mean, yeah, like I when I say finished, I mean like they had enough of a cut that they had looked at it. It's I know. It's roughly it was more finished than Justice League finished is what the point was, really.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, fair. But I was going to say that, as I understand it, I don't know if it even got quite that far.
Ooh. Okay, I had heard it had, like, principal photography and some secondary had been finished.
Yeah, I was just going to say, filming was done. As I understand it, it never got into post.
Never? Oh, God. Okay, that's very different from what I heard, is that it was, like, it had been posted to, like, a rough extent, and they, you know, like, there was enough done that you could watch the movie. You wouldn't, you know, it wouldn't look good.
Yeah.
Necessarily, but there was enough done, you could watch the movie.
Post. It was,
Ouch.
Yeah, like they were able to put something together for test screening.
Yeah.
But that was full of like placeholder visuals, temporary music. It basically, it was not in the state that most people seem to think that it was in.
Okay, well, in that case, release that and see what happens. Just push that out and be like, hey, this is what you guys were, like, clamoring for years, right? For us to do this? Here you go. Enjoy. There's no audio in this section, but don't worry about it. We've got a flip book. See, Batgirl does kicks him in the face, and wait, I gotta get my other flip book. I ran out. Wow, that is less complete than I had heard, and that is hilarious that they've already spent their entire over budget and it wasn't even done. Oh no.
Well, I mean, I'll also like remember that even the Snyder Cut, people were convinced that it existed, it was done. All they had to do was get the studio to put it out. No, remember. It needed an extra $70 million to finish.
True, but, like, the context for that was that, like, it was believed the footage essentially didn't exist and had all been used in the Whedon bit. Like, there was either a bunch of junk that was completely unusable or there was what had ended up on screen. So, like, if a version of this Batgirl came out, like, as, say, a streaming TV show that they re-edited and released that way, yeah, I could completely understand that approach. But instead, they're just like, nope, you don't get none of this. You don't get nothing. You don't even get Joss Whedon like we promised in 2012. And thank God, no more Joss Whedon. Thank you. No more.
Now, also, I'm giggling strictly over the fact that you said streaming TV service, series, rather. Again, keep that in mind. That's going to come up later. Meanwhile, for those of you listening and are saying, no, you don't know what you're talking about. Batgirl was finished. They just need to release it. Let's take a moment to hear from the directors of the movie.
Well, they wouldn't know anything about the film.
No, they wouldn't have no idea. Now, the co-directors of Batgirl, Adil El Arbi and Bilal Fallah, who you'll know from Bad Boys for Life, as well as the recent Ms. Marvel series.
Yeah, I prefer to know them for Ms. Marvel, not Bad Boys for Life.
Yeah. Now, here's what part of what they said in a statement. We, quote, "We are saddened and shocked by the news. We still can't believe it. As directors, it is critical that our work be shown to audiences. And while the film was far from finished, we wish that fans all over the world would have had the opportunity to see and embrace the final film themselves. Maybe one day they will, insha'Allah." Insha'Allah is basically it's the Arabic phrase for God willing. "Our amazing cast and crew did a tremendous job and worked so hard to bring Batgirl to life. We are forever grateful to have been part of that team. It was a dream to work with such fantastic actors like Michael Keaton, J.K. Simmons, Brendan Fraser, Jacob Scipio, Corey Johnson, Rebecca Front, and especially the great Leslie Grace, who portrayed Batgirl with so much passion, dedication, and humanity. In any case, as huge fans of Batman since we were little kids, it was a privilege and an honor to have been part of the DCEU, even if it was for a brief moment." And the duo concluded, "Batgirl for life."
I think that's far more definitive because it's not self-serving the way that other directors who try to get their films remade are. All I could think of now, though, is like, I wonder what their plan for Michael Keaton is, since that's one part of the project down. Surely they've killed the other one. Surely.
Once more, hold that thought.
Oh no.
It's just while we're on the directors, I wanted to hit the fact that, as I understand it, they finished filming principal photography and all that. They took a break so that Adil El Arbi could go off and get married.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It was at this point they learned of the cancellation of the film.
Congratulations! Get the fuck out of the office. Take your
pretty much.
Leave. Give my best to your new wife. Get the fuck out.
Now, apparently at one point with Batgirl, the idea of putting more money into the film to beef it up for a theatrical release, it's debatable, but according to different sources from the Hollywood Reporter, either they considered putting more money in for a theatrical run, or this was always seen as a streaming film and was never going to go to theater.
Which is just fascinating, 'cause you have to do a lot of very specific things, like choices to make a movie look like a movie on high definition TV, and yet not be good enough to blow up and show in theaters. It's like, why did you make those creative choices? I assume it was because they never expected to have to deal with any of this. But sad face.
Oh yeah, no, again, a lot of this, remember that these choices were made by the previous administration.
Oh yes, yeah, no, it's purely just like, that was a really dumb decision. Why did you do that?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. The numbers that I've been hearing was they were looking at an extra $7 to $10 million just for post-production, special effects, possible reshoots, essentially to fix the movie.
Yeah, and that's not so bad, but when you have already purchased or spent so much money on this company, you don't want to be throwing more millions of dollars after something that might suck. Not saying that it did suck, but it's just like, you never know. You've already paid X amount. The gamble isn't working out, and you're trying to, you know, like, get rid of anything that isn't a surefire hit.
Choices were made. At this point, with essentially the repair work that Warner Brothers Discovery was looking at, you now have a streaming film whose budget has ballooned to the point of one of their, for lack of a better term, lower end theatrical films, like the upcoming Shazam Fury of the Gods, whose budget, I think the budget on that is somewhere in the 110, 120 million.
That's impressive. Like, considering the amount of effects work that is inherent to a character like Shazam. And having more than one Shazam on screen. That's really cost effective.
Absolutely. And now, as I said, this was able to get to a test screening where apparently it scored in the low 60s at its single test screening, which on the surface doesn't sound good. But at the same time, what a lot of people have been pointing to is the fact that movies like the first It, and that grossed about $700 million globally, that scored in the same area in test screenings. The aforementioned Shazam Fury of the Gods scored in about the same spot in test screenings. And apparently a lot of horror movies that end up doing really well theatrically also score in that same area. So right now, people are probably thinking, well, with that pattern, why would they not release the movie? Because of the other feedback. Now, apparently, Leslie Grace herself was an absolute highlight of the film. But the feedback on the film overall was apparently rather harsh, amongst other things. Now, you mentioned earlier the idea of releasing this as a streaming TV series.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, one of the criticisms was it was likened to a bad TV show.
Oh, yeah. The cheese. I'm sure. I am very sure it would far too easily lend itself to, like, hamminess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And the consensus in the end being that no amount of reshoots, editing, or anything was going to be able to appropriately elevate the film, and was seen as you were saying a little earlier, quote, throwing good money after bad.
Oof. Well, that is that's very embarrassing for all involved. Now,
yeah.
Here's the thing. As you said, test screenings are brutal. It's kind of a pass-fail. 60-whatever percent is a pass. Therefore, like, it'll actually be rather popular with audiences. Test screening audiences are... They are some of the most cruel Stanford experiment-y motherfuckers on Earth. Because normal human beings interested in cinema go in, but what sits down in the seat is an over-entitled prick who thinks they know everything about the art form, and they spend the next couple of hours, instead of enjoying something and then considering it, looking for literally every little goddamn mistake and treating the work print typically as gospel. And so the notes that you'll see are fucking heartbreaking, because it's just people at their meanest about your project. And that's not to say it's bad. They will often have a lot of great notes, but they're all pricks.
Oh, yeah, like, no doubt. And I mean, like you said, even then, they may still have great notes, and
yeah.
I at the end of the day, I would think it's the studio is probably looking for specific feedback, and if they don't hear specific things, then it becomes, oh, we're not hearing what we want, we're going to have to either cancel or rework the movie.
Yeah, and specifically what I presume they want is... Yes, I am excited to see more of this universe and expand on these aspects and see where this goes, because one film, fuck that. We need the series. We need the cinematic universe. We're still chasing that dragon, even though, once again, Marvel is the only one to have really pulled it off. I know technically you can say the King Kong, Godzilla, monster... universe, but I consider those to be more traditional Toho style, just like sequels. Those aren't a cinematic universe. It's not Interplay. It's a sequel. It's a sequel. It's a sequel. Specifically in the Toho manner of, here's another monster. Here's another monster. Here's another monster. Now they fight. Here's another monster. Here's, you know, DC. I truly think that while the previous administration had a lot of bad ideas, one of their ones was to focus on standalone approaches to the films. By all means, go back to doing like a trilogy or something to draw out a character over three films or something. But don't chase the cinematic universe. At this point, you are 14 years too late. Like, Marvel has been doing this for 14 years, and if you consider how they're already expanding it into the multiverse, they're pushing that back to, like, 1998, in which case, you're fucking cooked. You can't make up and catch up to a quarter century of storytelling. Stop trying.
Well, I on the one hand, you're right. On the other, I think the problem is that previous administration would not commit to a single plan over the course of the entire DCEU.
Yeah, no, and that's very fair. They had no vision. They were a very panicky and worrisome lot, it seems. There was a lot of turnover. There was a lot. When there was vision, it was the wrong kind of vision. Like, not just like, oh, that's a, I disagree with that creative approach. It's like, you should not be working in comic books. What the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah.
You know, like, ultimately, I'm just trying to imagine, like, the review, like, performance review meetings Kevin Feige must have with the people above him. And he just, like, walks in the room, like, jaunty and shit, and people go, hey, there's my favorite buddy. How you doing, man?
Oh,
it's just making money, baby. All right, you keep doing. And he just, like, picks up a bonus check off their desk and just, like, like a 1920s cartoon character just jaunts his way out the door again. And it's like, there he goes. Meanwhile, Warner Brothers is on fire again.
It's just, yeah.
Why? What is the secret sauce? What the fuck? It's too late. You can reveal your bag of tricks. No one else can replicate it.
I think also with Warner, the previous administration anyway, at the point we're at when Discovery bought them, they were almost trying to do a little of everything with the DCEU. Like, yes, they had the standalone films, like Joker or the Batman, but they were also trying to connect some of their films to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Batgirl in particular and The Flash, they were starting to go back to that connected universe formula, which at the end of the day is another factor that essentially killed Batgirl that people are not considering, because with J.K. Simmons being the Commissioner Gordon in this movie, that connects Batgirl to the Snyderverse.
Mm-hmm.
Warner Brothers Discovery has no desire to be in the Zack Snyder business.
No, they are destroying all of that. It's all coming down. I keep picturing the Tower of Barad-dûr collapsing and then Sauron's eye exploding. And it's just, that's some good.
I was going to go into this at the end, but since I've brought up the Snyder Cut, I'm going to do it now. Now, if you want to know how much Warner Brothers Discovery does not want to be in the Snyder business, apparently there was a documentary filmmaker who was working on a documentary about DC Comics and their characters, and they contacted the WBD, which, my God, that abbreviation sounds like a venereal disease.
It really does.
Like you, when you say it, you can't help but think, sorry, not tonight, honey. My WB My WBD is flaring up.
Oh my god.
But anyway, like I said, so this documentary filmmaker contacts the studio wanting to license footage from the Snyder Cut for their documentary. Apparently, what this filmmaker was told was, no, but you can license from the 2017 theatrical cut because that's the definitive Justice League film.
Take that knife, stick it in, and then start doing like fucking jump twists. Just yeehaw, yeehaw, cha-cha. Oh god, yes, yes. Hurt them. That is hilarious. God, I feel like a Jedi hearing a million voices cry out, and my response is to try to high five all of them. Just yeah, yeah, high five.
Like, sorry guys, your precious 4 hour Zack Snyder, no seriously, I am an auteur, jerk fest, is not canon.
Not canon. Oh, so delicious. Meanwhile, in 10 days, as of this, no, 11 days as of this record. No, damn it. 12 days as of this recording. Oh, so close so far. So close so far. I'm getting shulky.
Yeah.
Who's winning? I think it's me.
Now, also speaking of the studio's plans, and you were wondering about Michael Keaton earlier.
Michael Keaton.
They may be pulling back on him.
Give Michael Keaton a buyout.
Because of course, Keaton shows up as the Batman in Batgirl.
Yeah.
But you need the Flash movie to come out because that's what sets everything up.
Mm-hmm.
And the Flash movie was, of course, moved to summer of next year.
Mm-hmm.
And so Keaton being in Batgirl as the Batman would make no sense because narratively, of course, at this point, Bruce Wayne is still supposed to be Ben Affleck.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, you know, it's not like they could narratively, you know, say that this occurs after and just fill it in later. No, it's not like it's storytelling or anything. No, I wouldn't. Sorry. At this point, I don't expect Warner Brothers to understand basic storytelling, so this is me not being facetious. I'm just pointing out that they could just storytell. Anyway.
Well, another issue is actually with the upcoming Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom.
Oh, boy.
Where Michael Keaton also shows up in that movie. Aquaman and the Lost Kingdom has apparently also gone to test screening, where apparently the big thing was audiences watched the test footage and, of course, had no idea why Michael Keaton was there.
What a fascinating Hail Mary that turned out to be, that inexplicably ended up landing in the cheerleader zone, causing one of them to trip into the fireworks display that took out one of the passing Blue Angels flying overhead, that then crashed into the tailgate party. Who the fuck knew the very popular at the time move of hiring Michael Keaton to come back as Batman would destroy the universe?
Yeah, like apparently, of course, like we've seen on Jason Momoa's own Instagram that Ben Affleck is now on set on Aquaman filming scenes. And it's expected that he's essentially there replacing Michael Keaton.
Yeah. Which, like, you know, the fanboys scream, hallelujah, hallelujah. But I get the feeling that this will probably be the exit for that version of the Batman. So that they don't have to keep bringing Ben Affleck back.
I mean that, like, you're right, that could well be, depending on what happens when we finally see the Flash, like, this could easily be they're giving the Keaton spots in these other movies to Ben Affleck for right now.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, and I suspect that they're going to keep pushing the Flash back until, oops, it fell off a cliff.
That's possible. Everything that I'm hearing right now says the studio is actually extremely high on the movie itself.
Oh, I'm sure. But yeah, pushing it back another year amid all the controversy and considering their tanking stock price, et cetera, et cetera. No, I think that's just being like, I already have these dozen fires to deal with. I don't need a 13th fire. That's the bad luck fire. Thank you very much. I'm going to take the 13th fire and I'm going to make it next year's problem, because maybe by next year I won't be working anymore. You know, like, I think it's very much like, we have to kill this, but we can't kill this without killing ourselves at this point. We've cut so much that we've hit a quota, and it's starting to have a market response. We'll just make it next year's problem, you know. And once again, I suspect that that film is dead, especially since, you know, half of its entire purpose is the Michael Keaton shit. And if they're cutting out Michael Keaton, then you don't need the Michael Keaton shit no more, do you?
It depends. I think right now what we're seeing with DC is the theoretical nightmare that people have discussed with Marvel since pretty much the pandemic started, where there's been that speculation and talk of, well, Marvel needs to be able to release these films in a specific order. What happens if they can't do that?
Yeah, in Marvel's defense, their response has been to write their way out. They look at the content and go, what if we tell a story that makes this make sense? What a concept. They're storytellers. DC's response has been to panic and run away.
Oh yeah, like, what we're seeing with DC right now is specifically if that theoretical nightmare actually happened, because Marvel was generally able to maintain that release order. The only thing that I think was really hurt was Black Widow, which, being technically a prequel film, narratively, it wasn't hurt that much.
Yeah, and, like, there was a couple of small changes. Like, originally, Thor Love and Thunder was going to include more of the Guardians, because it would have narratively happened at a different time, like an earlier time. But as it is now, it's like, that just doesn't work. So we'll change that. And you change it by taking the script and making edits. And then you film the new version of the script. It's this revolutionary concept of pickups and secondary filming and edits. I know, Hollywood will never be the same again.
Oh, yeah, no, totally. And, but just to come full circle here, again, it comes down to money. Something that I saw in, I can't remember if it was a Hollywood Reporter or Rolling Stone, But in one of them, the writer does specifically say, at the end of the day with Batgirl specifically, you have a movie that's become too big financially for streaming,
mm-hmm.
but too small financially for theater.
And DVDs are dead.
Exactly.
Ah, you really fucked yourself on that one, WB.
Just to wrap up, it should be noted, Zaslav has said that they have a 10-year plan of their own going forward with DC properties.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, this can go, I think I know where you may be going with that laughter, and I was going to say, this can go one of two ways.
Mm-hmm.
If that plan is strictly them setting up and wanting to do their own thing, great, great, wonderful. I geeks the world over have been saying that that's what they should have been doing for years.
Yeah, if it's just like, oh, we've got a Superman movie coming out. Actually, we have a couple of ideas for that. And it's going to be this great, like, version of the Superman, and then like unrelated to that we have this coming out, and then unrelated to that we have this coming out, and it's like you're just doing your projects. Like, they announced Joker 2, or at least seem to be still promoting it. All right, I'm not interested in Joker 2, but you know, I'm very interested in Matt Reeves the Batman 2. Yes, you know, so.
And like I've said to you off mic, like, as far as I'm concerned, if you have to copy what someone else has done in order to be successful and then tweak it and start doing your own thing.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, though. If this 10-year plan is meant or like designed to compete with Marvel in any way. WBD, let me stop you right there. Just don't. Yes, these two properties are going to compete with each other at some point.
See, the way I look at it is they're not at their best when they're competing with each other. They're at their best when they're both offering different approaches that the consumer can then go, awesome, I get two cakes. You know, you don't want it to be one or the other. And they've had this weird antagonizing approach where it's like, you know, you have to come over to us. Yeah, and like, especially their fandom's horrible for it, where it's like, no, it has to only be this side. And it's like, I don't know, how about I just enjoy what I like? Consumerism, hey.
Oh yeah, precisely. Like that competition at some point is just going to organically happen.
Yeah, exactly. When you both have two very good things. But as we've seen, when you have two things that are similar, like Civil War versus BVS, the one that is not even inarguably the better, the objective better film will always win out. And not need to have a director's cut version of it for people to be like, oh, finally, it's great. And it's like, no, it's actually worse. And that's impressive because the first one fucking sucked.
BVS was actually one of only two films where I have left the theater angry.
That is fair. And I feel like it's designed to do that, too. And like, either you get angry at the film or you get angry at like what the film wants you to be angry at. But a film just that wants you to be angry, that's kind of fucked up.
True. Now, also, a couple of quick notes about other films from DC that people have been wondering about. Specifically, Blue Beetle and Supergirl. Now, And I bring this up just because I've been seeing reports on social media that the Supergirl film has definitely been canceled. Those reports don't actually exist.
Yeah, it hasn't been canceled yet. It's just expected to be canceled.
Exactly.
For the same reasons, yeah. So.
It's expected, but where that is far earlier in production than Batgirl was when it was canceled, theoretically, you could rework that into whatever this new 10-year plan is, and that film could still be done. That film could still come out.
Yeah.
Blue Beetle is another one that nothing officially has been said, but it's kind of in a gray area right now where people are kind of half assuming that it's going to be canceled. But again, nothing official, and I believe it's still filming. So it's still at a point where they can course correct. So yeah, at the end of the day, quite simply, I think what we're seeing, if you really think about it, this is basically the same thing Disney did when they got Star Wars.
No, it's true. You purge, you stumble out the gate, and eventually, hopefully, you find your way. And it's usually after all of your plans that you came in hot with collapse, and you just have to go, well, yeah. The fuck do I have? Where's Dave Filoni? Dave, get over here. I need you to write something.
But,
the
nice thing is, as much as this sucks, it is nice to hear a WB executive say, we have a plan that we're going to take our time with and do it right.
Yeah. Which, you know, I hope so. It'd be nice to see these wide swath of characters be respected. Am I seeing that so far? Probably not. Especially since a lot of animation has been canceled, and it's like you're Warner Brothers. We'll see, and we'll come back to this, I'm sure, a few times. On some level, I am very happy because the creative decisions that the previous administration made were very short-sighted and shallow. Look no further.
I mean, I was going to say stupid, but...
Stupid, yeah. Like, look no further than Multiverse, the video game, which I hear is a great, like, Smash clone, but it's an exact, like, example of their problem, you know, like their unawareness of how to approach their stuff. Arya Stark is in that game, and it's just, why? Fucking, like, I understand this is all your characters and your content and stuff and throw it in, but like, I've waited years to have a game where you could have like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck fight each other and use like Looney Tune logic attacks. It's like they missed the entire point. Like the characters in Smash worked because they kind of all used their already pre-existing attacks. The characters in Smash worked and continue to work because like they already used like pre-existing attacks. They were all video game characters. And so the way you interacted in a fight was how you already interacted with these characters. You know, as Mario, you jump on people. As Samus, you shoot people. As Captain Falcon, you pose and then kick motherfuckers in the face. That one makes much less sense. The approach was like, these are video game characters in a different kind of video game, but we've based their attacks on their previous game mechanisms, more or less. Again, Captain Falcon, less so, but the vast majority of them, very much. Look no further than Kirby. Have fun, kids. Always go with Kirby. multiverse is just such shallow patchwork of like, okay, so we take this, okay, and we add this character. Why? What the fuck have you chosen this character? And we'll add this character. Why? This has nothing to do with anything. It's purely just chasing. And Space Jam 2 Legacy was purely just shallow chasing. The same fucking problems. We'll just stick all our characters in the background. It's like, that makes no fucking sense. There's no, like, continuity or canon or understanding of the characters that has them interact in ways that make sense as their own characters. I guess the one thing that I'll kind of be sad about is we're not going to end up getting even more shallow sequels, because like that Matrix Resurrected at least had potential, and now they're going to be scrutinizing everything like accountants. They'll be all over that fucking shit, and it's like, ah, I bet you're going to get a lot less fun now. I mean, it was cheap fun before, but, you know, like, everyone likes a carnival. Eat a chili dog, get sick, puke on a carny.
True. But I'm almost grateful for that scrutiny, because, like, I look at Matrix Resurrections, and it was like, y'all have the kind of the right idea, but you're not trying.
Yeah, exactly. It's just shallow consumer chasing.
And like, we know that this is a sequel that the original directors did not want to make.
Yeah, yeah, and only one of them was involved with. Always a great sign. Here, we're a team. So you worked on all the on this movie together, right? No. Oh. Oh.
Yeah, at the end of the day, that movie it had nothing in it.
Yeah, it was very shallow. I was hoping for something along the lines of Grant Morrison's The Filth, which was a spiritual sequel to Grant Morrison's The Invisibles, which was what The Matrix was based on. Instead of just kind of half-assed psychotherapy.
Yeah.
Damn it. So close, so far, so close, so far. But I figure an hour and almost half of jabbering about this has probably been more than enough bonus for you, gentle consumer of our humble podcastery. Mike, you got anything else to conclude with?
I mean, frankly, no. Like, at the end of the day, everything with Batgirl is a business decision. All they're really doing is resetting so that they can give us product that is, you know, what's the word? Good.
So once again, we can only hope.
Yep.
Sweet Jesus, DC. Please finally get it right.
Like, there may be a time to panic, but that time is not right this second.
it might only be over a decade. No, it's only been over a decade of complete failure.
Well, I mean, Wonder Woman, not the second one. Aquaman, so I think it's more just mostly failure.
Standalone good, not standalone ooh, so bad. Well, if you enjoyed this episode, please like, share, subscribe. Don't cancel us, Warner Brothers. Please don't strip away our budget, which is currently zero.
Yeah, I was gonna say, what's a budget?
If you know what a budget is, please write in. Send us an email describing and possibly e-transferring. Hey, send that money to
Or also, if you're a Warner Brothers executive who would like to buy this show so that you can cancel it in a cost-cutting measure.
Also that.
You can reach us at realgeekshfx@gmail.com. The show is on Twitter at realgeekshfx. I personally am on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at The Maritime Lord.
And I am on Twitter as Friday in Halifax and everything else as Crash and Burn. Why are those different? Because I had a lurid past.
She got canceled by Warner Brothers Discovery.
Damn it! Join us next week for more tax breaks. Goodbye!
Or join us in a few days for our discussion of Bullet Train. Either way.
Tax break!